Okay, so let's continue on Pei Gimel and Aleph. All right, so the question is the it's really the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, according to the Rashba's first opinion, this really is intrinsically the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. That part and parcel of his whole shita, that the chutz works, is that if she marries somebody else, it'll completely break off the original gerushin. Yep. And we have to keep in mind Tosis's position, Tosis's point, that it's not a matter that she can't have two ishus. Right? It's not like there's only room for one ishus. Because it's not like she remains an ishus ish to the first one, but the second ishus knocks it out. Could you get rid of that? Oh, okay. So it's not a matter that you can't have two ishus. Because then on Pei Beis, on a Beis, you have the same problem. Where he's Mekadesh or Chutz Mi Shimon. And over there, it's not a problem when Shimon marries her, Stam, that there's another Ishus. Yeah. And that Ishus even overshadows his Ishus. But that's not Mafkia, his Ishus. So how come over here it is? Okay. Let me ask you a question. I mean, some of you weren't all here when we went through the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, so you're a slight disadvantage. But well, maybe not. Maybe you're at an advantage. I don't know. But let me ask you a question, an opinion question. Let's say according to Rabbi Eliezer, a man gives his wife a get, chutz mi Shimon, right? And then he feels very bad. And he really has a change of heart. And he wants her to be able to marry Shimon. Can he give her a second get? Wait. So Matt says no. Rafa usually argues with Matt, but today he's quiet. In other words, if she's really remains as an Ashes Ish to Shimon, why can't he give her another get? Right? If the first get really just removed the status of Ashes Ish to everybody but Shimon, and she remains exactly like she was to Shimon from before the get, so why can't he give her another get and finish it off? So we see, though, I mean, from this Tosfos, from this Gemara, it seems like it's not that simple. It's not that simple that she just remains an Ashes Ish to Shimon the whole way through. It's not so simple to say that nothing changed after the get in terms of her status. No, as if nothing really changed in terms of her status from the original get, because she was completely carved. He was completely carved out, and vis-a-vis Shimon, she's exactly as the way she was from the first day she got married. Then this whole idea of marrying someone in between and knocking it off doesn't make sense, right? So you see that something must have occurred, even in the chutz, that even Rabbi Eliezer. Even the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer doesn't literally mean that when you give the get and you exclude one person, that it's like a non-event to that person. Because then there's nothing to finish off. There's nothing to finish off. Yep. So I think we have to go back to our idea from Rabbi Eliezer from the beginning. And take a look at it again. And what was that idea? The idea was that for Rebbe Eliezer, there's more than just Isser of Eishes Ish. The Eishes is not just the phenomenon of Isser, but there's really a phenomenon of Eishes itself. There's a phenomenon of Karov. There's a phenomenon of the relationship that they join together vis-a-vis each other in a different and unique way. And a product of that, or maybe a way of instituting that, is the Isser. But you have to be able to separate in your minds the phenomenon of Eishes and the Isser vis-a-vis the others. Okay? If they were the only two people in the world, they could still be married.
That's why I said they're
exactly right. So what we said for Rabbi Eliezer was that when the relationship exists, it has an effect of Isser. Okay. Or maybe we even said it's created through instituting Isser. But in terms of the Gerushin aspect of it, we said that when you are matir her to another, Isha Grusha Meisha, when you are matir her to another, that's a way of destroying the relationship. So when that's really the way Gerushin works, according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's that by allowing another person, by removing the Isser to another person, that destroys the relationship of the Ishus itself. And if a person, and therefore, that's all that's really necessary to create the Gerushin. So if he's matir her to others except for one person, she's an Isha Grusha Meisha. She is a Grusha already. She is a Grusha. The only thing is, he's removed his Ishus from her. She's no longer his wife. He won't inherit from her. She can't have Truma and those kinds of things. Okay? But what has remained is the Isser of the original Ishus. It's a remnant. The Isser of the original Ishus has remained. She has the Isser Eishes Ish from the original Ishus, but not the phenomenon of Ishus. The reality of Ishus is gone. Therefore, there's nothing he can do vis-a-vis that last, vis-a-vis Shimon, because he can't divorce her twice. Can't divorce someone that you're divorced from. And being matir her is the mechanism of destroying the Ishus. And that's the only bilus he has over the Isser, is in terms of creating and destroying the relationship of Ishus. Those are, so to speak, the tools of making and breaking the relationship. You don't directly engage the Ishus. But, so therefore, if he already broke the Ishus with regards to everyone except for one person, he can't break the Ishus again. So she would remain Usser. But not that the Ishus between them remains. As a matter of fact, they're not mutter to, they're not considered married. I mean, that's part of Rabbi Akiva's argument. Does she have a tzad eishes ish? But she, they can't maintain a relationship. Yes, let's just work it through then. So then, what's Rabbi Eliezer's shita then? So how does it work when she marries another guy? When she marries another person? What does it mean? It's nisrokein lo kola ishus. Well, like Rashi says, it's kevan denosko. Yeah, where is that? Yeah. Me'acha sheniseis la'acher v'nosko me'ishas harishon legamri. Once she marries someone else, now she's nosko me'ishas harishon legamri. It's an effect of the original Ishus that exists. That's all that exists. When he created the relationship of the original Ishus, he created it by saying, "Hare at mikudeshes li." And Lashon Kedushin, we said in Beis on Beis, means you're like kudshim to everybody else. You're considered iser to everybody else. The Torah gives the man and the woman the right to. It's like a commodity, somewhat. Her iser is her commodity. And she can give over her iser or heter to an individual. And if she says, I want to take away the rights, my rights to others and consolidate them in you, and you hold all of the heter tashmish that I have, that's ishus. Then you have created a relationship. You've created the relationship of ishus. And now it's in his hands to give it back to her. And to the degree that he gives her back her ishus and undoes and creates a heter to others that didn't exist in their relationship, then he undermines their relationship. And he's given her back her rights of ishus. But whoever he doesn't remove the Isser from simply remains in the state of Isser, but without the reality of Ishus.
But what is it?
In other words, according to the Rabbanon, Ishus and Isser are Hainuhach. They're the same thing. There's no such thing about talking about Isser without talking about Ishus. That is what that's what they are. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there is some reality to the relationship that we call Ishus. And then there are effects of that. Or there are causes of that. So he's saying that you can create the Ishus by instituting these Isurim. But when you destroy the Ishus, there can still be a remnant of what was used to create it. As long as they're not the same thing, it's not impossible. So the only question though is, why is it when she marries someone else, as if that Issa remains, even though the original Ishus is gone, so why does it get removed when she marries the next guy? And why can't it be that it's not totally on his Ishus, right? Because the Ishus is removed and the Isser of the original Ishus remains. So then why does it get, what do they mean that it's, what do they mean either the idea of Nisrokein, Kola Ishus Lo, Upoka Ishus Yorishon Legamri, or Noskam Ishus Yorishon Legamri?
What do you mean it's not totally on his Ishus?
Because the Ishus is gone and the Isser remains. They're not married anymore. And yet the Ishus, yes, he did a Gerushin. The Grush, the Gerushin worked. She can marry any one of those other people. So they're not considered husband and wife anymore. She can't eat Truma if he's a Kohen. He's not going to be Yoresh her if she dies. And he can't be Metame for her if she dies. All those halachas that have to do with Ishus are not going to apply. It should just be a freestanding Isser, exactly. In other words, she started out with Isser on everybody, let's say, and that was the substance of that was part of what their relationship was. So to destroy the relationship, he just has to change her Isser and Heter vis-a-vis others. So once he's matered everyone but one person, so now he's just left in place that Isser of the Ishus, of the original Ishus. He's removed the Ishus via being matir her, which is an essential alteration to the reality of what was part of their relationship. So now the relationship is destroyed. But it seems like the original Ishus just remains. So it's just a freestanding Isser. So who cares? She marries someone else. What happens to that? What happens to that Isser? So what I'm thinking about, what I want to propose is like this, that it's true, it's from the original Ishus, and it remains, but it can't remain as a freestanding Isser. Can't remain as like Isser Chazer. I mean, it can't remain as just its own Isser. Because Ishus, by definition, is an Isser is an Isser that relates to somebody else. Okay? I mean, if he was to die, then certainly the Isser would be gone. But let me see if I can. Okay, one second. No, so one way to look at it is like this, is that the Isser Ashes Ish is a remnant of their relationship. Let me just try to describe it. Okay. So now, in terms of the original Baal, in terms of the original husband, she's in a status now of, she exists now in the effect of the original Ishus. She's not really in the original Ishus, but she's in a state of that was caused by that original Ishus. Okay? Now, if she gets married to another person, now she has the reality of another Ishus. Okay? So he's saying that since Isser of Ishus is an Isser of relationship, when she has an actual relationship to one Ish, that will negate a relationship of effect from the other. In other words, she still is in a state that's affected by his Ishus. But that's only like a secondary, that's only an accidental status of Ishus. But when she has an essential Ishus, what's going to be Koveya? The original Ishus, the original Ishus can only have an effect as long as there's no actual Ishus. In other words, the problem is, and this is the problem that Tosis is raising, the problem is, can a woman have more than one Ishus? That's the problem. If she can have more than one Ishus, so then why can't she still remain in the effect of the original Ishus plus the new Ishus? And if she can have more than one Ishus, then how could he be Mekadesh or Chutz Me Rishon, Chutz Me Shimon, and then when Shimon marries her, she'll be married to both. So let me try to explain the Ishus idea a little more in its own. What it means to say is like this. Forget about the Kedushin problem, okay? But when they're married, so what do we really mean by Ishus? What is the reality realities of the Ishus is that he's controlling her Isser and Heter. Right? Before, when she's a Penuyo, she has the rights to marry anyone she wants. Part of creating the Ishus is that she gives over those rights to him. And she really is giving them over to him because now they become totally up to him. He can divorce her at his will. Right? So you can sort of look at it like those are the rights are being transferred. And now they become, before they're married, she has to agree to the to give him the right. You can't do Kedushin Baal Karchov, right? Because that's her right. But the Kedushin is now saying she's agreeing to forego all of the rights to engage other men in favor of him. And he now has the right, the control over that. He has the right to relinquish it, to give it back. That's called gerushin. So once he divorces her, so what can we say ishus, what can we say is an element of ishus? We can say there's an element of ishus is control over her iser and heter. That's what we mean by saying he has bilus. He's a baal. We call a man a baal. What's his bilus over? Not over her guf. Bilus is over her rights of tashmish, her iser and heter. He has a bilus over that. Now, when he gives her the get chutz miploni, right? So he's removed his active control from the situation because he can no longer effectuate her iser v'heter. He doesn't have the bilus over it anymore. So he's now removed his control in terms of effectuating any change because he can't give her another divorce. That's it. He's out of the picture now. But what iser does remain, it still is an iser of his original bilus. It still is, he hasn't fully removed the effects of his original bilus. So there is a certain remnant of the original ishus. In other words, he's not controlling it anymore, but he still does have an effect on her iser v'heter. Okay. That's right. In other words, if someone if Ploni would be with her, it would be violating an iser of him, of the original husband. So, it's clear. There's no question that the surim, the iser veishas ish, is a relative. The whole definition of the iser is relative to another person. You can't call a woman objectively an eishas ish without reference to the ish that she's the isha of, right? So, that's why if the guy dies, and of course there's no more iser eishas ish. Even though he never gave her a divorce, but there's just no ish. The guy doesn't exist. So what iser eishas ish can there be? Okay. So what Rabbi Eliezer is learning is that you don't have to have. He's learning two things really. Comes out two things. That you don't need to have. You don't need to remove the entire iser of the kiddushin in order to effectuate a gerushin, right? You can remove some of the iser and destroy the original gerushin. But on the flip side, you don't need the full relationship of the ishus to maintain an iser of ishus. The iser of ishus can remain just vis-a-vis the original husband, even though the essence of his ishus is gone. But it still is an iser tied to his ishus. It still is an iser about his control over her. So when he gives her a get and says, I now am giving over your control back to you, vis-a-vis everybody else, and someone else marries her, there can no longer be an iser defined by ishus of the original husband. Because once the new husband comes in, all of the essence of Ishus, meaning the controlling element of her Isser and Heter, was given over to this new husband. And now he is the only relative man in her vis-a-vis her Isurim. And there can't be two. She can't exist in two states, that she has Isurim related to a remnant of the original Ishus and Isurim that are part of the actual Ishus. It's not coming out good. In other words, they're learning it like this. It sounds like they're learning it. It's like a progression. He goes from him having full control to him relinquishing the control to someone else having full control. Right? And they're saying when he has full control, that creates the relationship of the Ishus. When he removes his control, the Ishus as an actuality is broken, but he still is her closest element of control. In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this. What I'm trying to say is, let me ask you this question. When the second guy marries her, according to the way we're learning, why can't she marry Plony? In other words, when let's say he divorces her Chutz Miploni, and then she marries Acher, another guy. Why can't she marry Plony now? Because of the second guy. Right? Not because she in reality is an Ashes Ish now to the second guy. You understand? The reality is that she's an Ashes Ish to the second guy. So that's Nisrokna, all of his Ishus into the second guy. Because in terms of everybody, there's a brand new reality that he is there's a brand new reality that includes everybody, that he stands as the controller of her Isser V'Heter. That's the definition of Ishus. So now, even in terms of Plony, his original identity, you can't say that her Isser is related to any man other than him. That itself removes all of the original relationship to the first one. What I'm trying to say is that absence actual control, you can still have a relationship of Isser in a vacuum. But not, you can't simultaneously have a relationship of Isser that's just a remnant in the existing simultaneously with an Isser that's an actuality. You can be in a state of Isser because of the past state of Ishus, as long as there's no new reality of Ishus. But it still needs to be. Just in describing it, what we're trying to say is that Isser of Ishus always requires a relationship. The Isser of Ishus always requires a relationship of Ishus. When he destroys the first Ishus, Chutz Miploni, she is now Usser to Ploni In other words, what is the relationship to original husband in terms of this man? Is it Ishus? No, it's not actual Ishus. But it's, I can't put it into words. In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this. Okay, let's think about it a little more. Let's just discuss it a little bit. In other words, let's say like this. Let's just talk it over. There's there's two things we're trying to say. We're trying to, because the question is, what does it mean that it's Kevin Sheishchil Lenaska? What does it mean, like Tosa's way he's expressing it? He starts to break it, and then he completes the breaking of it. Paka Lagamri, I mean, what is it? What is a partial break of it, and what destroys it completely? I mean, what are these three things? So what we're trying to work out is like this. They will say, Ishus, what is the Isser Ishus? What do we mean by Ishus? By Isurim of Ishus? So it means to say that that the Torah gives to an Ish certain amount of control and rights in creating Isser in an Isha. So the full-blown Ishus is what? That he is the definer and controller of her Isser. That's Kedushin. That's how Kedushin starts. That's the beginning of Ishus. He was Koveya, the Isser, and he has the control over the Isser. And by definition, it's an Isser of him, because he's the cause and the Baal of it. Okay? Now, when he says to her, I'm giving up control, that's the Gershon. So now the reality of the Ishus is gone. So what remains? What remains is that vis-a-vis whoever he kept the Isser in place, he still exists as the Koveya of that Isser. In other words, all Isser Ishus always requires that it's an Isser that stems from another man. That's just the definition of an Isser of Ishus. Ishus, who here speaks Hebrew? Right? Personal. It's a personal nature of a person, of an Ish. So the ultimate expression of Isser Ishus is in terms of the one who is in control of those Isurim. But there's also an idea of the Ishus just from the one who was the Koveya of the Isser. So what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, when you create the Ishus, Kedushin is taking control. But with taking control is also being Koveya. That comes simultaneously in the beginning. Right? As a matter of fact, I can only take control over some people's Isurim. That's Harayat Mekudeshes Li Chutz Miploni. So I decide who I'm Koveya, who the Isurim are by, and I control those Isurim via the ability to divorce or to die. So, or divorce, let's say. So then, when he gives her the get, chutz miploni, so by what right can we still say there's an isser of an ish? Because although he gave up control, he can't remove the fact that he was the koveya. That's enough to say this is his isser. This is the Baal's Isser. This is the original guy's Isser. How is it an Isser of? Because Ishus always has to be an Isser of. That's what it means. It means the Torah gives an Ish a right to create Isurim. And when you're violating, they are an Isser of so-and-so. There's no such thing as referring to an Isser of Ishus without the prepositional phrase of Ploni. Right? As opposed to other Isurim. You can just say, are objective, right? Grusha, doesn't matter whose Grusha it is. Well, maybe say Grusha Meisha. But let's say Kusi, Goya, whatever it is. So the thing, though, is what remains of the original Ish? What is it, by what right is it an Isser of Ploni? So it's an Isser of Ploni because although he's not the Baal over it, he still was the Koveya of it. And since he didn't undo the original Isser, he didn't undo the effect, he didn't undo what he did remains intact. Okay? But what they're saying now is, and this is the svara of Rabbi Eliezer, that since Ishus always relates back to an individual's, and it stems from his relationship vis-a-vis her status, once a new Baal comes in and becomes the controller of her Isurim, now that itself, now we no longer need the original Koveya. He's irrelevant. Because vis-a-vis everyone else, this woman can't marry anyone because of the new Baal. Because all the realities of Ishus are under his control. Because even without the original Isser, everyone would be Usser to this woman because of him himself. So he is really the primary effect of all of her Isurim. That, by definition, negates the original Baal. Because we only consider it an Isser of him because its existence is coming from him. Because he put it into place, and he left it in place. But if he, as an Ish, is irrelevant vis-a-vis this Isser, and we can attribute it all to the new one, then we don't need two causes for one thing. And we'll attribute her status of Ishus to the primary cause of her status. The primary cause of her status is the one who's controlling it and has it as a cheftza, not the one who is just left a shell of his original ownership. So the point of the matter is like this: it's a relative Isser. And it's relative in terms of its existence. Who do we attribute the existence of this Isser to? That's whose Ishus it is. So when he set it up and left it in place, so we'll call it his Ishus, because Lamaisa, he left in place something that he initiated. So we can say she's Usser to everyone because of what he did. But when you have someone who actually is in control of her Ishus, he's the primary reason for all of her Isurim. We don't need the original guy at all. We don't need the original guy at all. It's like if someone's did something, and it's like the cause of the second one is more intrinsic than the cause of the first one. And therefore, attributing cause should go to the intrinsic cause, not to just the accidental cause. So therefore, it's nisrokna. Everything from the original guy gets poured into the new one. Because all of the concepts of Ishus, all of the concepts of Isser because of, are tied up in this new guy. And makes everything from the original one completely irrelevant. And we don't say her Isser stems from the first one at all anymore. It has nothing to do with it. So that's what they're trying to explain. That Ishus is an Isser, that the definition of Ishus is when Isurim are instituted by an individual. So then they become his Isser. And as long as he is in existence, as long as that Isser and he are in existence, we'll say she has an Isser of so and so. By Gerushin, he can remove them. But if he decides to leave it in place, so now it's no longer like an Isser Ashes Ish of when they're married, because they don't exist, he doesn't exist vis-a-vis those Isurim as a present state of bilis, but he just exists as the one who put it together. Okay, the one who instituted it. So it can still have the shame of a relative. But it's a relative not in not in the fact that he is has a present bilis over it, not an essential. It's more just in terms of the remnant of his activity still exists, but not the actuality of the activity anymore. But once you have someone who has the actuality of the activity, he overshadows the original Baal, and we no longer refer to him as the Ishus, as the Isser of, we no longer refer to him as the cause of any of these Isserim. So therefore, his whole Ishus is Paka. Because the whole idea of Ishus is that we can say it's an Isser of. That will only remain when, insofar as there's no primary cause to attribute it to. So then we can continue referring to it in an accidental. I gave it a mushal. It's not true mushal, but it's just a mushal. Like, well, let's say somebody lived was a resident of a country, and then he just is a vagabond. He roams around the world. So you can still say his country is his origin. But when he finally settles down somewhere else, we'll say no. Now this is his country. Meaning to say, we can refer to him as existing vis-a-vis his origin, because he's not relating to any place, essentially. So we'll say, okay, he's a man of, let's say he was an American and now he just wanders around the, we'll say he's a man of America. That in terms of associating a country, we'll associate the country of his origin, because we have no better way of associating country to the guy. But once he takes up residency in another country, that's essentially what he is. So in relative terms, when we're defining something vis-a-vis its relationship to its cause, sometimes we can refer to a cause of origin. And sometimes there's a cause of being. But when the cause of being exists, that overshadows the cause of origin. So if I would say to you, this woman who is divorced from this guy, who is the ish that defines her isurim? Well, I'll say, well, it's still the original guy vis-a-vis whichever isurim he left in place. But once she has a baal, now I'll say, which man defines her isurim? Oh, she only has Isurim of him. So that's all of his Ishus was poured into this next guy. Because Ishus is Isurim of. So when there's a reality of an Ishus, that's all of her Isurim. When there's no reality of Ishus, it's only what remains of the original cause. Right. So, they were writing the biography of the vagabond. They would say he's an American who travels around the world now. And then, and if in the end of his life he settled down in another country, they'd say he's a Dane who had led a colorful who previously led a colorful life. But what is he? Now he's a Dane. That's it. Okay. Think it over. But that's the Nisrokna. I like the Nisrokna.
That's a cool word.
Just see it being all poured in.
It's like an onomatopoeia.
But it's Nisrokna because it all gets bundled up into the new idea. It's Nisrokna because you're taking what was from before, but you're now putting it under his thing. That's what it means by Nis. That's what the marshal of Nisrokna is trying to tell you. That she had the Isser from before. But we could only, the closest cause we could pin it to was him. Now that very Isser gets poured into the new cause, which is the present existence of the actual ishus. So it's not like a new isser. It's getting repackaged. But packaging is the essence over here. Because the essence is the relative, not the thing itself. You can't turn an isser chazer into an isser yayin nesach. I mean, you can't turn one essential isser into another isser. You can't say, well, nisrokna, the isser of basar b'chalav, into the isser. It can't. They're essentially different substances. We can talk about nisrokna when the isser is of a relative. Because we can just reattribute causes, and we'll say the isser seamlessly went from the original Baal being the cause, because he was the closest thing that she has to a definer of her isurim, based on what he did in the past, to the actual present cause of the true Baal now. So the isser, that was the inability to live with Ploni, went from the original one into the new one. But that's it. Now the original guy is gone. Because it wasn't a substance of isser. It was just an attribution of isser. Attributing isser to whom? That is the definition of ishus. To whom does this isser belong? The ish.
She still has a relationship to the first guy insofar as the Corvette.
Exactly. But that's not a primary definition of ishus. There's a more primary, and in causes, the more primary supersedes the secondary. That's the way causes work. When you have a primary isser, you don't regard the secondary isser, cause. When you have a primary cause, you disregard the secondary cause completely. It obliterates it. That's just the science of causes. We might say one is more essential if you wanted to convince a certain population of people. No, but it's true. It means its existence is more real. That's what I mean by essential. Its existence is more
essential.
Right, generally, when you make something, that's like means you own it. That's what you say, Kone Shemayim V'Arts. The wise God of Kone Shemayim V'Arts, because he's Borei Shemayim V'Arts. So when you acquire those rights by being Koveya them. But over here, you can relinquish the actuality of the Bailus and still remain, in terms of a relative, the source of that, the idea of the Isser of Ishus. And but the Kedushin is not a kasha, because he's not relinquishing anything by the Kedushin. Mm-hmm. He's just creating to the exclusion of a certain person.
He's still the primary. Though.
He's still the primary, exactly. Exactly. That's Tosus's answer. You can't bring it. It's not saying that two Ishus can't exist. It's saying that there's an idea of a diminution of going from actual Ishus to remaining in the effect of the original Ishus, and then that will be the effect of Ishus will be superseded by an actual Ishus. So if in terms of the same person, one, she exists only in terms of the effect of the original Ishus, and in the reality of the new Ishus, that will remove the original, that will remove the Baal. But if he says, you are fully my Isha with regards to everyone except for Shimon, marrying Shimon has nothing to do with that Ishus to everyone else. Okay?
But like your central
Thank you for your patience.
The central rule is that